Heavenly Father, we live in a very interesting time in human history, in the history of the United States, the history of the church. Impending war, rumors of war are very high right now. America, one of the few times in our nation's history, talking about being the one who makes the first step in war, actual war. And it's happening in our country in so many ways, causing so many Christians, Heavenly Father, to come under a sense of stress and depression. So many disruptions of the Christian life today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will give us the eyes and ears to see and hear what you'd have us to see and hear in our study, dealing with depression, anxiety. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's first of all, the structure of verse 3 becomes very important. So, one more time, let's look up here. And the way that the verse is laid out, in, the preposition in flesh, but in a moment we're going to have another preposition, according to flesh, and those two are the key. In flesh, meaning in our flesh nature, we walk in our daily life. This is the way that you and I, this means breathing, eating, living. This is our daily life. Not according to flesh, we war. So you have a contrast in verse 3 here between the prepositions in flesh, according to flesh. Flesh remains the same. We remain the same. But war, in contrast with the walk, to go along with the walking, that in our life, in living our life, we are in a spiritual war. And we have to be aware of the spiritual war that we are in. Now, having said that, Paul goes on in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. So we're in a war, but our weapons in this war that we're in are not of the flesh, because we do not war according to the flesh, therefore our weapons will not be the flesh. See, that makes sense to you? If we're not going to war in the flesh, then our weapons are not going to be of the flesh. So we war, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, because we do not war according to the flesh, but divinely powerful, referring to the Holy Spirit, for the tearing down of the fortresses. We are destroying, this is the process going on, we are destroying, and now these fortresses or strongholds are defined for us, are destroying speculations and every lofty thing. Now it's been a long time since we have looked at the stronghold. Let me just remind you what a stronghold is, just so you'll have this in mind again, what these strongholds are that we built up in our soul. We have built them up from our childhood, particularly if things happen to you in your childhood. Sexual abuse, neglect, verbal abuse, control, all kinds of things that happen to people in their childhood. We start building these strongholds. And point one, we saw a stronghold in our passage, your meaning in our passage, is an immaterial structure built in the mind of the soul through persuasive arguments by Satan's lie. Remember what Satan's lie is. It's the heart of all of this, from Genesis all the way to the Bible. My self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. And they are, the structures are built in the mind through persuasive arguments. Now, in order to divert the mind from being who you are in Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of these strongholds that are in our soul. Point two, these fortresses are strongholds in your mind, in your thought patterns, that actually govern how you think. And remember, the importance of that kicks in on you if you remember, as a man thinketh, so he is. And we spend time on that. That's very important at this point. So these fortresses, these are strongholds in your mind, in your thought patterns, that actually govern how you think. And whatsoever you think, that's what you are. How you deal with things that happen in your life, circumstances like we studied last night, circumstances related to perseverance. Again, this is why stress, anxiety, and depression seems involuntary. And people argue, still argue with me, still get some emails and stuff. No. Stress and depression are involuntary. No, they're not, people. Professionals verify this. It is a choice. We choose to be. One person, two people can be in the same exact same circumstance. One is, one isn't. One chooses to be, the other doesn't. Point three. Strongholds that must be torn, these strongholds that must be torn down, are fortresses that protect and defend your flesh nature. And here's where we study the big five characteristics of our flesh nature. From these fortresses comes oppression in your life. So they've got to be destroyed. They protect the flesh nature. They defend it. For an example, what is jealousy? Jealousy is a defense of the flesh self. Oh, you can say it's a sin. And you're right. But that doesn't tell you what it is. Whenever we have jealousy, we are in the flesh. It is something that is doing what? It is something that is protecting the flesh nature. Anger. All these things. Now, strongholds that must be torn down are the fortresses that protect and defend your flesh nature. From the fortresses comes oppression in your life. Now, finally, four. Strongholds are those fortresses inside your mind where the power of Satan hides and is protected and seeks to control you, keep you thinking that you are unworthy, inadequate, a loser, wasted life, and you deserve God not giving you anything and any real blessing in life. That you deserve to be disciplined by God. So that's where the stronghold is. So verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the true knowledge of God. Now, why so long in this verse? Because I guess this is our third hour, maybe our fourth. It's more than that, don't tell me. But we've spent several hours on these verses. Why? This is because to me this verse is the heart of why stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. They're the heart of why it's so difficult to keep walking in faith in the Spirit. We know that's what we need to do, but it's a battle. And I just can't do it. I want to, and I can't do it very long, and I get right back into the flesh. One of the fundamental reasons why this is true is because of the strongholds, the fortresses that are in our soul. One of the very foundation reasons why. That's why we have to spend some time here. Coming into fellowship with the Holy Spirit is simple. All of you know that by now. That's simple. Just an act of faith. I'm trusting you, Spirit. I'm trusting you, God, to do this in my life. And start walking. But to stay doing that. To stay there. That's when the battle comes in. To continue to walk in the flesh. See, just getting there is not difficult, but it's so difficult to stay there. That's where the battle begins. Why is it so difficult to stay in the light, stay in fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit? Because these strongholds are in the soul, these fortresses are in our soul, out of which comes fear, out of which comes everything that keeps us from walking in faith. These strongholds in our soul come to the weaknesses, the weakening, the inner challenge of walking by faith. In fact, they just cut off faith. And it's right out of these strongholds. These strongholds are fortresses, therefore, they've got to tear them down. But we can't do it. That's the thing. We know they've got to tear them down, but we can't do it. The only way that this is going to happen, why? Because we can't do it because, if you remember what the passage said, they're in the flesh. We're in the flesh, but we can't use the flesh to tear down these in this walk. So we're going to have to depend totally on God. And here again, it's by faith, and we've dealt with it in one of our classes. Can it be that easy? Or simple? Can it be that simple to tear down these strongholds in our soul that have been built up since we were children? Yes, it can be. That's how big our God is. If we will trust Him. But it's so difficult because these strongholds spewed out all of His power to keep us from doing it. So our part in the spiritual warfare, we all talk about the angelic conflict, spiritual warfare. Our part in the spiritual warfare, our part is just what's going on inside of us. Not everybody else, not the flesh. We don't battle the our wives, husbands, and everybody else. It's our part in the spiritual warfare is inside of us. That's our part, dealing with these fortresses that keep us from being who we are in Jesus Christ. These fortresses that keep us from walking by faith. The war is not according to or by the flesh, by means of the flesh. That's very clear from our passages. But not only is it not in the flesh, people, it's the very opposite of the flesh. It's in the spirit. When we stand before the fortresses of darkness in our flesh, what happens? When we stand before the forces of darkness in our flesh, we're weak. And people don't think you can even outthink Satan. People want to think like God. You can't even think like Satan. You can't outthink him. That's why it's faith. You can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. But when we war with the divinely given power of the Holy Spirit, now we have a power force inside of us that is stronger and greater than Satan's. Now, we started this last week or 2 weeks ago. We didn't meet the week before Thanksgiving. And we're looking at some of these fortresses. And I'm not going to by any means cover all of them. I just want to cover some that are big. Now, we've already taken up one. One was the experiences in our life or the interpretation of the experiences in our life. I won't go too much time over that. That was one of our first fortresses. And don't say just your experiences in life, that you were raped as a little girl, molested as a little boy, in your infancy or adolescence or very young. You were abused by your parents. You were neglected by your parents. A lot of things that happen, and people, they're horrible. They're horrible. But it's not these experiences. It's the interpretation of them. How do you interpret the experiences that you have in life? That becomes the great issue. If you interpret them that I am bad, I am evil, I'm a loser, I'm doomed, I'm no good, poor me, then they will haunt you the rest of your life. But they do not need to. I've heard Protestant preachers on the radio and stuff when all of this broke out, what was going on in the Roman Catholic Church with the little boys, say, oh, they're marred for life and all of this. No, they're not. Not necessarily. My God is bigger than that. I don't know about your God. My God is bigger than that. My God is bigger than what man can do to you. My God is big enough, if you will trust Him, to come in and to cleanse and restore and give you a great life. Then another stronghold of the soul, another fortress, is false doctrine. False doctrine. I could spend a long time on this one. Throughout all church history, using church history as the example of the stronghold of false doctrine. And part of that stronghold is going to give rise to stress, anxiety, depression. It's going to give rise to a great deal of things. The stronghold of false doctrine has hurt more Christians than, as I think I said when we covered this 2 weeks ago, than all the gin joints in the world. What the church has done to haunt Christians with the false teaching. Many pastors talk about knowing doctrine, but what did they mean when they used this expression? Knowing our doctrine. Knowing the doctrine of our church. That's what they mean. And knowing the doctrine I teach, or this type of thing or the other. That's what they mean. It isn't necessarily just saying knowing the truth of Scripture, but knowing the truth of Scripture as we have it. And so upon that they build their doctrine, which ends up causing more stress, more hurt, more anxiety and depression. And I could go through the period of the Puritans. I could go just all through history of where Christians just cause so much hurt based upon false doctrine. I'll tell you something else about the stronghold that we didn't cover 2 weeks ago, and that is this. We've already seen that strongholds have a way of blocking your faith. You're walking by faith in God, and because of the strongholds, boom, you're cut off from walking by faith. Well, the stronghold of false doctrine does the same thing, because just like Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, if you're depending on circumcision, Christ is of no advantage to you. Walking in the Spirit is of no advantage to you. If you live under the stronghold in your soul of false doctrine, you're never going to make it. This fortress has to be torn down. Now, how's it going to be done? Let's go back to what we've already seen, how the Holy Spirit does this. He turns the light on in truth in your soul. And when truth is there, you look at the truth and you look at what you've been holding on to and you realize that's wrong. That's wrong. This is truth. This is what I need to hold on to. So it becomes so important to see all of the things that we're dealing with. Job. Job's three friends built a fortress of false doctrine. They didn't give him human wisdom. They didn't give him Aristotle stuff. They didn't tell him, as his wife did, curse God. They said, no, let us tell you about God. Let us build a fortress of knowledge of God that caused and brought about great stress, anxiety, and depression inside of his life. In chapter 42 of Job, the last chapter, after Job had finally made it through his long journey of seeing that all God wanted was faith, God came to Job and said, I am so angry at them, for they did not speak truth about me. In other words, their view of God was not true. And they tried to enslave Job with their false teaching about God. It wasn't a matter of leave God. No, it was about God. This is what God is like, Job. And Job had this big fortress in his soul that was crushing him. And he needed to get out from under it. Pastors do the same thing. And most of these things are built on Satan's lies. And they're in the soul, but they actually destroy. They actually haunt us. One of the serious ways of not being deceived. How can I not be deceived by a teacher? People that are pastors, there are teachers, radio in our society, books, radio, television, tapes, internet. How can I know? How can I not be deceived by what sounds good, like Job's three friends? What sounds good? Let me tell you how you got it already. You have inside of you the scales, and that's how you were saved eternally. That's about the cross. We all have inside of us what happened at the cross. And if you would just remember and go back to what happened at the cross. Well, I don't have paper. But you had what happened at the cross. How was I saved? Simply trusting the one who sent. You now have a barometer. Somebody comes along and says, okay, now that you're a Christian, now you have to do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. We've got a list for you. You can say in your mind, wait a minute, let me think. You're not talking about him. You're not talking about the teacher. I don't care about him. That's what he's trying to tell you about God. And you've got to be able to go back and say, just a minute. That isn't how I was saved eternally. I came to God a sinner under the penalty of sin. I came to God alienated from God, his enemy. And how was I saved? What would I do on my part whereby I was saved eternally? I just trusted him. And Paul says, as you received him walk. So you go through your whole life saying, oh, wait a minute, that's it. Just trust him. How am I going to get rid of these fortresses in my soul? Just trust him. Wow. Boy, no. It's got to take more than that. Did it take more than that to save you eternally? Did it take more than that to take you and change, completely destroy your flesh nature and raise you up and create you a new being in Christ? Did it take more than just faith? What makes you think it's going to take more than faith for God to tear down strongholds in the soul? That's all it's going to take. So that's one of the surest ways of understanding this. The truth will set you free. The truth. If we understand what the word truth is, but of course everyone's going to claim theirs is the truth, but if you understand what the truth is and what the truth is, how you were saved eternally by simply believing in the one whom God has sent. That's truth. Now, look with me, if you will, at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We ran across this in our study in the Gospel of John on Sunday morning, but I have to just sneak it into this study. Not make it a main thing in this study, but sneak it into this study because it is so important for what it will accomplish in your life in dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. John chapter 8. Now, John chapter 8 is where the Judaizers, this is about 6 months from the cross, and the Judaizers are trying to entrap Christ, and a lot has gone on previous years, but let's just jump to verse 30. Now, as he spoke these things, look what it says. Many, now these are the religious Jews, and the Jews that are there, many came to believe in him as the Messiah, as the Savior. Now, verse 31 is so important, to remember who he's talking with. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, this is important for so many things, but it's important our study dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. Multitude of people quote, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They want it on buildings. They want it everywhere. I want you to be aware who he's talking with. Talking to believers, not unbelievers. Most of the time people think that he's talking to believers. It's very clear, and I think the Holy Spirit wanted to make it clear to you. He said to those who had believed him, not to unbelievers, but to those who had believed in him, if you abide, now that you're a believer, if you abide in my word, and what is my word? Salvation by faith. My word is faith. I'll do it. So if you continue now that you have entered it, if you will stay there as believers, if you will abide in my word, the truth of the gospel, then you are truly disciples of mine. Now what is his word? What is his word? His word is faith and love. Then in verse 32 he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can you be free of stress, anxiety, and depression? As a Christian, this verse says you can. This verse says you can be free of it. If you will know the truth so as to live in it. If you will live in the same truth by which you were saved, you can actually live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. I trust him to tear these fortresses down and to set you free. How did you tear down the strongholds of the soul? Simple faith. Not faith plus. Not faith plus your work. But just trusting him. People, he said this to the believers, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. In this series of study, we've gone to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and we've already looked at what? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. People, you can be free. You can have liberty of stress, anxiety, and depression tonight. If you're suffering from it, on the tapes, wherever, you can be free of it. God has said that. And the only condition is what? That you trust him. We saw that in Isaiah. Set your mind. And those who set their mind on him, he gives them perfect peace. So we can tear down the strongholds. We can tear down all these things that come from the flesh. We can do that by what? Simply trusting him to do it. Not by human wisdom taught by preachers. Not by psychiatrists, psychologists, and all this type of thing going on. But simply trusting him. Now, what a lot of pastors use is Satan's lie. Example of the arguments that they will use and these arguments that are talked about in our study, lofty things, they're from Satan's lies. And they build fortresses in our soul that we have to destroy with the divine provision given to us in this very passage of the Holy Spirit. So you've got to remember something. Satan's lie, I don't want to write it on the board again, but Satan's lie is the opposite of what we have, what we're seeing right here. It's the very opposite of it. The opposite of the truth of God is Satan's lie. You got the truth, and I do have to get this somewhere on here. Let me take this off. We have the truth. The truth shall set you free. So here's the truth. The truth. And what is the truth? The truth is the truth of the gospel that I, God, will do all the work, and all you have to do is trust me. Not trust what you do that I'll do for you, but you just trust me. But opposite of this is Satan's lie. This is the truth, just trust me. What is Satan's lie? You've got to perform. You've got to do and do. Isaiah 28. Do and do, do and do. Roll on roll, roll on roll, plus others' opinion of you. And that's very important. That's why Cain killed Abel. Because of Satan's lie. His opinion about his brother was such, he had to kill him. And that's the way religion still functions today. It has to get rid of those things it does not agree with it. So people, it's very simple. Truth is an interesting word in the Bible. Those of you here have generally studied this, but on tapes, maybe not. You'll have truth used a lot throughout the Bible with nothing in the verse context of what it's talking about. So what is the truth? When you just have the word truth out there, it's the truth about God. It's the truth about the gospel. It's the truth that God is, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What? All my doctrine? What's the truth that's going to set you free? Do we need 50 points? Do we need just a book to give us a whole understanding of what this truth is? Or can we grasp what this truth is that's going to set us free from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of stress, anxiety, and depression, from the bondage of the law, and all of these things that we're going to be set free. Can we kind of grasp what this truth is? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And that is, I am. I am God, and I will do it all. I will do everything. This is the truth of the gospel, people. Just trust me. That's truth. Don't try to understand me. Don't try to figure me out. Just trust me. Trust me, and I'll tear down those fortresses in your soul. Do you believe that? If you're sitting tonight with stress, anxiety, and depression, listening to these tapes, you may listen to them in the morning, but we're here at night now. But you're listening to the tapes, do you really believe that? Do you believe that if I just trust Him, He'll tear down these fortresses? This is you about God. You're making a decision not about yourself. You're making a decision not about how severe all of your stress and depression is. You're making a decision about God. You're having a view about God. My view of God is, if I just trust Him, He'll tear down these fortresses that have built up in my soul since I'm a child. And that's all I have to do is trust Him to do it. Or is your view of God is, no, 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 no. You've got to do for God. You've got to do things. You've got to work at it. You've got to go to doctors and psychiatrists and take drugs and do all of this stuff. You've got to do a lot, and God will help you. Or is your view of God, I can just trust Him. So it comes down to what you truly believe here. So we're going to destroy the speculations and the lofty things. We're going to do that by allowing Him to turn on the light of the truth, which will reveal the lie. When's a lie revealed? A lie is revealed when the light is turned on. Now, this is what we're talking about. Remember back when we talked about changing from AM to FM? came from going to AM on the radio. We used the radio ideal in mind here. And you have in one box, one little box in your car, you have AM and you have FM. Now, in principle, you can't get on AM what's on FM, and you can't get in FM what's on AM what's on FM. They're different. You have to be tuned in to either FM or AM. Now, when you're on AM, you can get a lot of different stations. When you're on FM, you can get a lot of different stations. But it's all going to be FM. When you're on AM, you can get a lot of different stations, but they're all going to be on AM. And what a lot of Christians do, they're on AM, they just change the station. They just change the station from one thought they don't like to another thought. They just change the station. But what we talk about with FM, see, what is AM? AM, remember, was the Adamic mindset. And the FM is the faith mindset. And you just decide which you want to have on. You can turn on FM, you can turn on AM. It's entirely up to you. It's entirely up to you. Now, this is what we're talking about in that study, changing from AM to FM. From the Adamic, meaning our nature and Adam, our flesh nature, on every station are these arguments and lofty things raised up. You understand what I just said? In our passage in 1 Corinthians 10, they all appear on AM. All these speculations, all these arguments, and all these lofty things are on the AM channel frequency. They're on the AM frequency. On FM, on the faith mindset, you have on here everything that is geared in regard to trusting Him, trusting God, having your mind set on Christ, having your mind set on Him. Have your mind set on that He is seated above. And every thought on FM is setting our mind on the things above. You've got to remember that. We saw this Sunday morning. We see it in so many different places in our study. But you can have your mind set on the things eternal and forever are on earth. People, you have no claim to anything on AM. You have no claim on anything on this earth. It has nothing to do with your value, who and what you are. It's who and what we are in Christ. That is a great issue. Now, we're in spiritual warfare. You're in it. No decision about that. You're in it. Satan looks for any stronghold from abuse, from our past, anything that he can use in our life, things that have happened to us, the way people have hurt us, or we've received, we've been hurt, the way they've done this, the way our parents did that, and how they were wrong, and how everybody's wrong, how this has happened to me. Cast the blame somewhere. Just keep working at it. That's what Satan wants us to do. And he's going to do whatever he can to destroy you. Whoever, if you're a Christian and you've made a decision to walk by faith, he is going to do whatever he can to destroy you. To keep you what? Keep you in the flesh, keep you from walking in the Spirit. All this is seen in the first battle after Israel entered the land by faith. Now watch this. This is seen in the first battle after those people crossed Jordan and they went into battle. Do you remember the first city they had to fight? Anybody? The first, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They entered, they crossed Jordan. Here's Jordan. And there is Ai. Ai or Ai. You're from the south, it's Ai. You're from the north, it's Ai. So it just depends on how you like to talk. I'm just kidding, man. Okay. Let's talk about that for a moment. See how this goes. They entered. And actually, I'm so sorry, it wasn't AI. What am I talking about? I love the study of AI because they had to use the whole stuff. But no, the first one was Jericho. Jericho was the first one. I just had a long talk with Glenn Carnegie, who was an archaeologist in Austin not long ago, and we talked about discovering Jericho and discovering a lot of things about Jericho. All right, first challenge was Jericho. They refused to enter the land because of the stronghold of our fortresses. And out of that fear, remember what happened? Now, to remember all the things that were going on, they come to the Red Sea, and here's the Red Sea. Now, the thing that they were here, the enemy was behind them. So I'm going to put here, here's the enemy behind them to put them into great fear. But now, when they want to cross, that's horrible. Let's go here. There's Jericho. The walls of Jericho. And they looked across, and why would they not go across? Because of those strongholds. Remember those giants? And what have we seen in the New Testament? We talk about those giants. We talk about the giants that are in our soul. Are parallel to the giants and the, all the fortresses, the mighty fortresses and the giants that were on the other side of Jordan. They didn't want to go across because of those fortresses. People, they'll stop you from trusting God. This is a great place to see what's happening with faith in your stress, anxiety, and depression. If you look over, you see all these strongholds, and they put great fear, and you don't want to walk by faith. You just don't trust that God is going to take care of the stronghold. And so you dare not go across the stronghold. So they refuse to enter the land because of the fortresses. Out of fear, they refuse to what? Trust God. These fortresses are too big. I'm a loser. I'm no good. And my friends keep telling me I'm no good. Friends keep pursuing me. I'm no good and I'm rotten. And I can't be used by God. That's all these strongholds that keep us from being who we are in Jesus Christ. But once they started walking by faith and crossed Jordan, the first battle was Jericho. I want you to think about it. How did they destroy Jericho? By brilliant strategy? Far from it. Oh, I've got to really think through. It's going to take a long time to get these strongholds out of my soul. I'm going to need professional counseling. I'm going to need the very best psychiatrist, psychologist. I'm going to need the very best pastor, teacher who just knows everything about the Bible because mine is a special case. Far from it, people. In fact, I'll give it to you in simplicity. They violated just about every military principle they could. They violated just about every military principle according to military strategy. Sun Tzu, Philip the Great, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, all these great writers of strategy. The Jews violated everything that they would have them do. Just violated it. What did they do? First thing they did, they revealed their entire force. Walking around the city of Jerusalem, around the gates of Jericho, they had their entire army. They revealed all their power, all their weapons, all their horses, everything that they had. You don't do that. But you try not to let them know anything. They revealed everything. Not only did they do that, they did it over and over and over and over for 7 days. Totally weak, yet victorious. Victoriously strong, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So instead of some type of strategy, they just walked around, and then instead of some silent night attack, what did? They just, on the seventh day, just blew trumpets, sounded the trumpets of victory. And what happened? The walls, the fortresses fell. And I'm here to tell you, it can be that easy when God gets all. As the fortresses and the walls of the great city of Jericho fell, by just trusting God, that's for you and I to learn something. That's how easy these strongholds can fall inside your soul. Why do we have the Red Sea and it keeps coming up in Scripture? Jordan keeps coming up in Scripture. Jericho. Because we can learn something. We've already learned something about the Red Sea and Jericho, how they were exactly the same, just by faith. And God did it. What do we learn about Jericho? God can tear down the fortresses in our soul if we'll just trust Him. People, you don't need to master all of the great writers in military history. And that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people, oh, well, we can gain a lot by reading Sun Tzu. We can gain a lot about reading Alexander the Great. We can learn a lot about MacArthur by reading the tactics and strategy of MacArthur, Patton, men through history, Caesar, I think I mentioned. And there's so many. No. See, that's fighting with the flesh. That's fighting with the flesh. That's trying to outsmart him. That's trying to figure out how to tear down these fortresses that are in your soul. Don't do that. You'll spend years and a lot of money and get nowhere. I'm here to tell you, if you just learn, if we trust Him, God will tear down the fortresses. God will tear down the walls if we just trust Him. And that's what will happen. And as these fortresses come down in your soul, what happens? The strongholds, all these things tearing down, you'll find yourself able to walk by faith a little longer and a little longer and a little longer each day until you're walking quite some time in the power of the Holy Spirit. These attacks will come in all kinds of forms in our life and all the things, but I'm telling you, just as it took care of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, the fortress of Jericho, and then all of the other fortresses in the land, all this study, if we wanted to just make this a long, long study, I could go through the taking of the land. And little battle after battle, it still comes up to one thing. You trust me and I'll tear down the fortress. You try to go to your thinking, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And you're going to have enemies always there. But if you'll trust me, I'll tear down the fortress. What does that mean to you and I? I'll tear down the fortress. Where are the fortresses for you and me? Fortresses for you and me are in our soul. Fortress for you and I inside of us that we're studying in 2 Corinthians 10. These are the strongholds. And then come down just as Jericho did, if we just trust Him. And again, it just comes down. Can it be that easy? I just don't see how, when it's caused me so much agony in my life, so much stress, anxiety, and depression, when it stopped me from walking by faith, that it can come down that easy. Here's this great city of Jericho with all of its great walls. And they just fell. They fell before Him. And the fortresses inside your soul will do the same thing if you'll just trust Him. That was closing the word of prayer. We got a few more things I want to do in stress, anxiety, and depression that we have to do. And then we'll close up this series. But we haven't covered one very important thing if you haven't realized or thought about it. Over and over, I guess 1,000 times I've used the expression, be who you are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, live who you are. We haven't covered who you are. We've spent a lot of time on who we are in the flesh. But we need to spend a little time, for those of you that do stress, experience stress, anxiety, and depression, who you really are. There's who you need to know. Closing prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. Father, on Tuesday night we studied Revelation and how you've already determined the end time and what you're going to do with the mighty fortresses, the physical forces here on the earth. It behooves us to trust you to tear down the fortresses in our soul. Something that only you can do. A God that can make Jericho fall, a God that can take what we're just seeing in Revelation at the end of time, the greatest power on the earth of the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the land, 7-headed dragon, to throw them down. That gives us the confidence that if we trust you, you can tear down the fortresses in our soul, that we might be free of stress, anxiety, and depression. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.